With over 500 high-performance products in the EvoStick range, you may need a bigger van. EvoStick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.
Everybody, and welcome to this week's EvoStick NPL show. I'm your host, Ben, and coming up over the course of the next hour or so, we're going to be looking back at all of last weekend's results in the Northern Premier League, as we'll be joined shortly by James Hayes, social media officer for the league. We're also going to be catching up with Ant Taylor, talking all things Scarborough. We've got Rob Hughes coming on as well, media man at Gainsborough Trinity. We're going to be talking Workington with BBC Radio Cumbria's John Walsh. And we're also going to be previewing that big, big six-pointer between South Shields and Farsley Celtic this weekend, as we'll be joined by Live Sport FM talking about that big fixture and their coverage for this weekend's match between South Shields and Farsley Celtic. But before all of that, there is really only one place we can start, and that's to the marvellous performance from Ramsbottom United, not just in midweek, where they overcame higher league opposition in the form of Weymouth in the second round of the FA Trophy, beating them convincingly by 3-1, but also the heroics from Saturday afternoon, where Rami took it to a replay. A great performance from our Division West side, Ramsbottom United. And joining me now on the other end of the phone, we're now joined by the welcome return. It's manager at Ramsbottom United. Here's Chris Wilcock. So, Chris, a big thank you for joining us. Safe to say, a big, big congratulations. An amazing outcome. Not just the replay, but the first game on Saturday. I mean, it's been a great week. What's your take on it all now you've had time to digest it?
Exhausting. to be fair, it's a wonderful achievement for the club. I'm sure we put Ramsbottom on the map down south now. Everybody will know who they are. And fantastic day for the club. It was a long day. And the players did the club proud with an absolutely stunning performance.
Let's go back to the first game on the Saturday. You know, Weymouth take the lead with 6 or so minutes left to play. What's your take when that equaliser goes in?
Mixed emotions. Obviously, the competitive side of the team kicks in. They don't want to lose the game. So we're looking to push on and try and get an equaliser. When we get the free kick that Tom Kennedy put in, I think he was probably in two minds whether to put it over the stand or put it in the right areas to give ourselves an opportunity to get an equaliser. We threw everybody forward, including the goalkeeper, and Sam made a good presence in the box and give them something to think about. And the rest, as I say, is history. We managed to keep it alive. You know, scored an equaliser, which for me was just deserved on the day. We only made two mistakes in the day, and they took them both. Full credit to them, because they're a very, very good side going forwards. And the lads responded on both occasions and deserved to to stay in the competition and then finish the job off on Tuesday.
And that's the double-edged sword, isn't it? The Tuesday game, it's widely known when you've got a replay in the FA Cup or the FA Trophy, there is going to be an element of travelling involved. But this is to the extreme, isn't it, to go down to Dorset on a Tuesday night. Just give us a sense of the difficulties for not just yourself, but the club more generally and the players for organising the logistics of that at such short notice.
Yeah, I mean, we'd obviously spoke about, the planning of the possibilities of a draw. But obviously, at the end of the game, when it's all sunk in, everybody then starts to think how we're going to, get a team down there on a Tuesday night. So it was logistically an absolute nightmare for the club. But, full credit to them. Everybody worked tirelessly over Sunday and Monday morning. We got a plan in place for 9 a.m. Tuesday. The players got the go-ahead from, the various employees, which you have to say a massive thank you to everybody who allowed the players to travel at such short notice as well. It was a long day down there. But I think the coach trip galvanised us on the journey down. The banter was fantastic. The lads were looking forward to it. And then off the back of that, the display was phenomenal, really.
And it looks on the surface anyway like a very comprehensive performance at Weymouth, and all things considered, quite a remarkable one, really. And should pay credit to the supporters who came down as well, not just the players and the coaching staff, was it? I mean, there was a good chunk of away support down there, and they got rewarded with a fine display on the pitch.
We did. I think in total we had a massive turnout of 17. But I have to say full credit to them for again shuffling their work commitments around and looking to come and support the team in the best way possible and make the long journey. And the supporters have been fantastic since I've arrived. The supporters club in particular as well has supported us and got people coming back through the gates. The gates of at home have started to increase. And, overall, the supporters are enjoying what they're seeing. And as with many non-league clubs, they'll travel and support their football club from Land's End to John O'Groats, I'm sure.
But the next game, and you started this off, Chris, by talking, hopefully it's put Ramsbottom back on the map. In the third round in February, early February, you've got AFC Fylde. Rammy has played Fylde in the past, but Fylde nowadays is a much different beast. This is a mightily big game for the club now, and you've already gone furthest in the competition you've ever gone before as a club. And if we think back to what happened at Ramsbottom a couple of Boxing Days ago with all the flood and that kind of thing, this is putting the club back on its feet, isn't it? And it's great to see.
It is. It's a massive game for the club. Fylde are only 45 minutes away from us. I'm sure they'll bring big support with them on the day. The club are now planning for that 2 weeks down the line and making sure we get everything in place to have a bumper crowd. I'm sure there'll be a lot of supporters from local clubs that support, even pro clubs, that maybe their teams may be away on that Saturday. They'll be looking at that fixture and hopefully we'll get plenty of ground hoppers and people who are interested in the tie and what it might bring. And we'll get a fantastic day for the football club.
And finally then, Chris, just before you go, just a quick mention for the league as well, because that's been going on while you've been doing all this as well. Big game this weekend against Glossop. In the lead up to these couple of games, you had a very good draw against Leek. We'll ignore the Atherton Coles result, but then there's the marvellous win against Radcliffe. So you are involved in the promotion hunt as well. So it must be great juggling all these things on a lack of sleep as well.
Well, we just keep talking about momentum. The group doesn't want to lose any game, whether it's cup or league. We feel that the momentum that the trophy runs bring in as well is helping the confidence and instilling the belief and the philosophy that we want to get into the players. And off the back of that, the performances have been very good. Even against Coles, we didn't play badly. We just made a couple of mistakes. Against Leek, we had a man light for 70 minutes. So it was a solid defensive display to stop a very good side who've been scoring a lot of goals. So we were pleased about the performance. So the performances have been good. Obviously, we just had to drop some points in there. But outside of that, we're looking forward to going to Glossop. I had some fantastic times there. I've got a lot of friends at the football club. And I'm looking forward again tomorrow. And we'll see what the day brings.
And a big congratulations to Chris Wilcock and everyone at Ramsbottom United. A sterling effort on Tuesday night, travelling down to Weymouth and beating them by 3-1 and progressing to the third round, where they'll be taking on AFC Fylde, our old friends. And speaking of old friends, joining me now down the other end of the phone, we're now joined by the welcome return to talk about all the other results from last week in the Northern Premier League. It's Mr. James Hayes. Hello, James. How are they?
Evening, Ben. How are you doing?
I'm all good. So we do have to start talking to you about Ramsbottom United. You have seen them close quarters this season already, but quite an extraordinary set of results that for Ramsbottom United. The 2-2 draw on Saturday, the late equaliser and all that. And then going down to Dorset on Tuesday night and beating them by 3-1. Not just beating them, but beating them convincingly. And progressing and continuing to fly the flag for the Northern Premier League. It's great stuff at the club.
Yeah, you can't fault them for the last couple of days. Literally, that's all I've seen on my social media feeds. Everyone's talking about Ramsbottom United and the result. They absolutely outplayed Weymouth and deservedly are into the last 16 now.
What a result. And we might as well talk about Ramsbottom United again. They're travelling to Glossop North End this weekend in a big game. And they need the win, don't they, to get themselves towards the playoff position. So it's odd to play for in Division West. But in the meantime, it's now time to leave the trophy to one side and talk about matters at the top end of the Premier Division. Should say later in the show, we're going to have a full fixture preview with Matt Carruthers from the North East Football Podcast. And speaking of the North East, there's a big game taking place up that neck of the woods on Saturday. South Shields against Farsley Celtic. Firstly, obviously Nantwich Town weren't in action, so the onus was on Farsley Celtic, South Shields and Warrington Town. Who were going to be the team who would be top of the table out of Saturday the 12th of January and into the big wide world that is Saturday the 19th of January. And that team was Farsley Celtic, but they only did it, James, with a 1-1 draw. And that's a big result, that, for Grantham Town. It just keeps the door slightly ajar of them looking over the shoulder at the relegation picture. But it's an unlikely draw, and I'm pretty sure Grantham are going to be very happy with that one.
Great point there for Grantham. I think we said last week they need to start really pulling out some results just to avoid sliding further down the table. What a way to do it at the time, the second place side. Farsley Celtic now, it's worth mentioning at this moment, it's not just Farsley at top, it's actually Farsley and South Shields joint top. So Saturday's game coming is literally the tiebreaker at this moment in time.
Right, so, Farsley Celtic are purely top at the moment. They played 24, 53 points, goal difference of plus 26, 54 scored, 28 conceded. South Shields, 53 points, played a game more, plus 26, 54-4. 28 against. Beautiful synergy. Farsley Celtic top because their name begins with an F. That's how it works.
Pretty much, yes.
So a big game this weekend, and like we said, we'll be covering that in more detail later in the show. So South Shields sitting in second position, they got there by beating Basford United at Basford by 3-0.
Yeah, Basford still have a little bit of the injury crisis that they had from last week against Hyde as well. South Shields went down there and got the job done. And again, this coming Saturday could decide the league later on in the season. The 4-1, obviously, South Shields
too
lost.
Too early. You can't say that.
I know it's too early, but too again... Early.
James, I'm calling no. I'm saying no. And the reason why I'm saying no is because Nantwich Town are sitting in third. Admittedly, they play 3 games more than Farsley, 2 games more than South Shields, but they too are on 53 points. And then there's Warrington. Warrington, 1 point back now. They played the same number of games as South Shields. They've got 2 games in hand over Nantwich. They played a game more than Farsley Celtic. Not the best of results on Saturday, though, for Warrington. Travelling to the East Coast, where they were beaten by Scarborough Athletic by 1-0. That's back-to-back wins now for Scarborough Athletic in the league, following a bit of a sticky spell. Let's hear now from our dear old friend from the Flamingoland Stadium. Here's Ant Taylor. So, happy new year to you, Ant, and welcome back to the show. A fantastic result, that, against Warrington on Saturday. And it looks like the blip, the winter blip at Scarborough's been put to one side, it looks like.
Yeah, it does. You know, before Christmas, we were looking what was going on and things like that. But obviously, after the Whitby game, New Year's Day, which was terrible, to be honest, to be sat there watching it. But since then, 2 home games in the new season, it's kind of picked up. We've had a new assistant manager, well, old manager with him, Chris Boulder, coming in, and it's kind of changed things around, and the team looked like a completely different team than they were just before Christmas.
Now, I was going to ask you about Chris Boulder, because, you know, that decision was made, and it looks like it's bearing fruit. I mean, we've had Chris Boulder on the show before in his previous guise as North Derby manager. He's got some great experience, and it looks like it has helped.
It has. I'm going to be calling it Boulder Ball from now on, what he's done for the club coming back. But before then, I've known Chris for many years, obviously being at Scarborough as a player and stuff like that. And especially when he had that horrific injury a few seasons ago at Bamber Bridge, we come quite close, funding each other and that. And he's always a top lad and someone I respect. And him coming back, I thought he was on the cards as well with him leaving North Ferriby. But I think he's been great and what he's brought back in there. And the whole, like, the dynamic in the team has come in. We've also got in some new players as well. Flynn McNaughton, the youngster, he's going into a special category with his dad playing for the old club and obviously him playing for the new club as well. So that's good. And then we've had a new signing, Davey, ex-player as well from Scarborough coming back. And Williamson, I think, from North Ferriby, just to bolster what we're probably lacking without no Bailey Gooder. Obviously, he's got another 3-match suspension as well to go on. And there's a few injuries with Burgess as well, the hamstring against Warrington. So it is all looking good. But as we say, you know, every game is going to be like an FA Cup game. Now we've got Matlock tomorrow, which is going to be another hard game because they want to go back onto, you know, onto a winning streak as well. So it's going to be a good game.
Now, Scarborough, 4 points inside the playoff positions. You have played a game more than Gainsborough, who sit 4 points behind you. Gainsborough tomorrow travel to Micklehover Sports. You, as you mentioned there, Ant, I've got Matlock Town. There is a potential for Scarborough to open up a 7-point gap to the rest of the league outside the playoffs. That said, next week, not to be too dismissive of the challenge of Matlock, but the week after, you've got Farsley Celtic coming to town. So it's there's going to be a lots of twists and turns over the coming months, and you've kind of already touched upon it, but what's your expectations for what Scarborough can achieve? Is it the playoffs? Can you put a push on for the title? Where are you up to?
You know, we were up there, and I know I was saying a few, you know, when I was on the show last time, it's a great view up there. But I think, you know, playoffs are round about there for us at the moment, that I can see. But we're the kind of team that, you know, it wasn't so long ago where we were in the kind of similar position, and then suddenly we got into the playoffs, losing to the old Ossett Town in the playoffs there. We pushed, and then last season, yet again, we pushed it again and we got promotion. So I don't really know where we could be. We could get automatic, you know, if we keep on pushing. But if we get playoffs, we get playoffs. But it's been a really good season. It's been, we've had some good results. And obviously the Warrington Town one was a cracking result because they're a hard team to break down. You can see why they've only now conceded 17 goals all season. So they are a good team and it was a hard game. But I've got to be honest, it's probably one of the best games I've even watched. There was only one goal in it.
You'll be there tomorrow, I'm assuming, Ant.
I'm looking forward to Matlock. The only time I've ever been to the game, I was talking about with a wife today, I went on holiday in Matlock about 9 years ago. And we had a holiday cottage. And I snuck into the ground, so and I took some photos. So, yeah, I'm looking, out of all the fixtures, this was one I was looking forward to going back to Matlock. I'm not going to Heights of Abraham, though, not on that cable car.
No, good pie and peas, yeah. I should say, as well, at Causeway Lane. Just to add then, full commentary available on Yorkshire Coast Radio, of course. And when will you be going to where? Come on, sell it to the listener.
Yeah, I think it's me on my own again, so it's 90 minutes of me probably talking like I've just been now. You know, if you do suffer from sleeping conditions, you know, I might help you with that one as well. But it's going to be an exciting game, obviously. And, you know, just listen to it on your extra. So, you know, interact with me as well. I'm on Twitter and that, and I'll reply if you need anything repeating. I've come out with some really weird things as well. So either way, what the result, it should be 90 minutes of fun. So if you can't make it to the game, get sat down, get a coffee and, you know, listen in. Or a cup of tea, whatever takes your fancy.
Hot Vimto as well. Ant Taylor there, friend of the show, joining us from a Scarborough Athletic perspective. Those two wins have really brought a breath of fresh air to the club, and that's something to build on for Steve Kittrick heading into February, James.
Indeed. So, again, it just puts him that little bit of a driving position for the playoffs at this moment in time, especially with some of the other results this weekend. James Walshaw scoring boots are back on. Nothing more needs to be said. The only thing that is, basically that score as well, stopped Warrington being joint top as well. Just a huge result there for Scarborough.
So Scarborough Athletic, they sit 4 points inside the playoff positions. The team just outside the playoffs with a game in hand is Gainsborough Trinity. They got the job done at North Holme on Saturday, to say the least, beating Workington, a troubled Workington, by 4-1. So let's hear now from a Gainsborough Trinity perspective. I caught up with the media man at the club. Here's Robert Hughes. So, Rob, a big thank you for joining us. And we're obviously in the second half of the season now, and it's getting very, very intriguing and interesting when it comes to the playoff race. Gainsborough Trinity very much involved in it all. What's your take on that side of things?
Yeah, just a little bit on the curtain tail at the moment, looking to keep in touch with the teams at the top and see where it goes, really. Interesting second half of the season. We've got, you know, three big games against two of the fancy teams in the near future. We've got Farsley, we've got Warrington home and away. I think we're still in with a shout.
Definitely. And you obviously, we had Lee Sinnott on a couple of weeks ago. And you know, Gainsborough have had that sticky spell. A lot of sides have had sticky spells throughout various stages of the season. So no real surprise there. But like you say, some good results in the last few weeks. The 2-0 against Matlock. The 0-0 against the league leaders at the time, Nantwich. And that 4-1. Against Workington. What's your sense on how Gainsborough are shaping up as we enter the closing stages of the season?
Well, we've tightened up a lot defensively, especially since the turn of the year. We had a bit of a wake-up call on Boxing Day, losing to Grantham, but they've had a few good results since then as well, picking up positive results. They had a good result against Basford. So you've got to think, OK, we've tightened things up a little bit. We've got to be clinical in front of goal, though, and we started to show a bit more of that with the 4-1 win over Workington, like you touched on just then. And, you know, if we take our chances and keep it tight at the back like we have been doing, we're up there with the best defences in the league. So it is just taking our chances. We've got the strike force capable of scoring goals. It's just getting them firing on all cylinders. And we've had a new addition in today. We've signed Max Potters from Doncaster on loan. He's no stranger to this league. He scored 4 goals earlier on for Grantham. So, you know, hopefully he comes in and adds that little bit of competition to places up front again and freshens things up.
Now, you touched upon the coming fixtures, and there's a biggie with Warrington coming up at the start of February. But before that, there's two mammoth banana skins, huge banana skins, Stafford Rangers in a couple of weeks' time, Micklover tomorrow. There is no
exactly.
I know it's a cliche, but there are no easy games in the NPL Premier Division. We spoke towards the end of August as the season was just getting underway, and Gainsborough were heavily favoured at that stage as well. What's your take on this division and this level of the game?
Really, there's been no standout team. I've had a few conversations with different people trying to say, who do we see as the standout team? And there's been a few that have, you know, spiked a little bit of interest, but all are much of a muchness that anybody can beat anyone. If you'd spoken to me before the Workington game last weekend, I would have been telling you about three potential banana skins out of four, rather than just the next two. But we managed to sort of handle expectation well and came out with a 4-1 win. We weren't at our best against Workington, but good sides don't always play at the best and pick up results. And we're capable of doing that. So we can't fear anyone, whether bottom of the league or top of the league, but if we perform to the best of our abilities, then we should be, like I said, there or thereabouts.
And just before you go, Rob, just a quick plug for tomorrow's match against Micklover Sports. The media side of things at Gainsborough is really, really good. How could people keep abreast of what's going on there in Derbyshire?
Well, I don't know if I can announce it or not yet. I'm working on a special guest appearance on the Mixlr commentary.
Right.
Without saying too much and getting me into trouble, I've invited a former captain of ours who should have been involved but might have got sent off last weekend.
Piece it together, dear listener. Who could he be talking about? God.
But he was approaching his manager to see if he had any objections to him joining me in the press box. So there is the Mixlr commentary that will be available full game in 5 minutes before kickoff, as well as the Twitter and Instagram feeds with lots of up-to-date action and hopefully reporting on the Gainsborough Trinity win.
Robert Hughes there from Gainsborough Trinity joining us on this week's Evo Stick NPL show. It's looking like, I don't want to ruin the rest of the results for you by talking about where Buxton are and Matlock and the like, but it's looking like Gainsborough at the moment are the best of the rest.
With results going elsewhere, it opens that little bit of a gap and a bit of a breathing space, but that breathing space can't be taken too lightly because the chasing pack now are starting to bundle up a little bit themselves. So it only takes one of them teams to go on a good run. They've still got the game in hand against Scarborough, and yeah, it might not put them into the playoff spots.
Let's talk about then the bottom end of the table, and some teams just can't help but keep getting results. Two of those teams went head-to-head on Saturday, and in a way, they both got a result. Lancaster City 2, Michelover Sports 2. Lancaster City just sitting above the drop zone at the moment. Michelover Sports stay 2 points ahead of Lancaster. I think both managers would have taken that result, in all honesty. But at the same time, Marine beat Buxton at Silverlands by 3-0. And Marine have opened up a 3-point gap now to the relegation spots. The team in the relegation places is Stafford Rangers. They're the team currently sitting third bottom. Obviously, they didn't play on Saturday. So, in a way, James, it's as you were with Michelover, Marine and Lancaster picking up points.
I mean, now with Marine, again, huge result at Buxton just to get them a bit more towards safety. Great signing as well with Niall Cummings on remaining on loan for the rest of the season, who's been, since he's arrived, he's changed the momentum for the club.
So Michelover Sports, Marine, Lancaster all picking up points last weekend. Hensford Town are getting dragged into this in a big way. Stalybridge Celtic 1, Hensford Town 0. Hensford now sit 3 points from the relegation places. And we do have to say this at the moment. Stafford Rangers, they're the team third bottom, as we said. They've got games in hand. They've got a game in hand over Lancaster, a game in hand over Marine, and 2 games in hand over Michelover Sports and Hensford Town. If Stafford Rangers click in the next few weeks, it's going to get mightily interesting for a lot of teams down the bottom end. Let's talk about the remaining match from Saturday. Witton Albion 1, Matlock Town 0. By my maths, 17 points the gap now. Witton Albion to Scarborough Athletic. Witton Albion with 4 games in hand. So still involved. Still involved, and that's an impressive result, that, against Matlock Town, James.
But I honestly can expect them to be pushing up towards that little group of the chasing pack.
Just to mention, we did say about Gainsborough Trinity against Workington, a 4-1 defeat for Workington. Lots of stuff going on at the West Cumbria club, and it does feel like a good time to have a catch up with BBC Radio Cumbria's John Walsh to see what's happening now, because the gap between Workington and Lancaster City is 10 points and it's no longer in Workington's hands as a result, because they've got 3 games in hand. So Workington have to win those games in hand and hope for snookers now. Long way to go in the season, but it feels like a good time to hear from John Walsh, so let's hear from him now. So, John, a big thank you for joining us, recording this on Friday afternoon. I'm only saying that in case something else breaks, news-wise, that is.
That's definitely it. We've had a bit of that lately.
I mean, what's going on at Workington? It's been one of them seasons where you're looking at it and you're going, Workington will get out of this, they'll get out of this. And then all this has been going on with the management and all that palaver. Where are we up to?
Yeah. I mean, probably people are getting sick of me saying this, but I mean, I did think at the start of the season that we would struggle a wee bit because, you know, it's history now, but we had 5 players waiting for operations. Another good one, Anthony Wright, had retired. 6 good players taken out of the squad. Any other team in the league would struggle. But I thought we would get out of it, you know, certainly before now, when they came back. Only 4 of the 5 have come back. In fact, only 3, really, because Dave Symington has been back for a couple of games, but it's only been for 5 or 10 minutes at the end, and he isn't fully fit yet. So that has been a problem. But I did think that by now we would start to be picking up. This squad shouldn't be where it is. But you're only as good as your last game. You're only good as a few games as far as working are concerned. It's been a struggle. And, of course, what hasn't helped is what happened a fortnight ago when we lost the manager within 6 days of being appointed. That was a big, big shock.
Everybody was absolutely delighted, over the moon. Popular figure, Gavin Skelton, had a great run in the 1 year he was with us, took us to the semi-finals of the playoffs, and with everybody was united behind the board. The board had got a bit of stick, obviously, during the season. People were wanting changes at the top, but they didn't happen. But when they did, they went for Gavin. They pinpointed him as the man to do the job, appointed him. Everybody was singing off the same hymn sheet. Everybody was confident we'd get out of it. And then, blow me, 6 days after being appointed, he hands his resignation. I mean, that was just unbelievable. Just couldn't take it in. Anyways, you know, the shock initially, then it turned to anger, and then people said, right, we're putting it behind it. Bones has got the job as Lee Andrews, and Stephen Rudd, who's a very, very well-respected, probably one of the highest qualified local coaches in the county, he's brought in to back up Lee Andrews. Stephen Rudd has been with us before, ran the reserve team, very well-respected. Has contacts with a Premier League club and a Championship club with his work elsewhere. He's worked at Carlisle United. So everybody now is united behind these two. And we disappointing result last week at Gainsborough, 4-1. It wasn't a 4-1 game, but as far as the record books show, it's 4-1 to Gainsborough. So, but the next four games, Ben, the next four games are critical because there are four games we should target. Well, we obviously have target to win, but these are four in our position we should be aiming to win, because we've got Bamber Bridge at home tomorrow. We've got Mickleova, who are down there in the bottom four or five, the week after. Then we go to Grantham, and then we've got the bottom side, North Ferriby, away as well. So I would think we need 10 or 12 points in those four games. If we can get those, we can say, I think, that the recovery is certainly taking off, that it's getting those results that'll account, you know, and we've got to get off on the right foot at home. And the big thing is, and there's been an appeal by Lee Andrews in the local paper with Helen, who does the local write-ups in the paper, they said the crowd can play such an important part, and they can. They can get behind, they can be the 12th man, if you like, the two home games to lift the club and get this team going, because I've said all season that, although I did think we would struggle early on, it's too good a squad, famous last words, Ben, it's too good a squad to go down, but we've got to start getting the results on the board, and that starts tomorrow at home to Bamber Bridge.
And the problem Workers has got, and no disrespect to the clubs that I'm not about to mention, but when you look at the bottom end of the table, you've got North Ferriby, who went to Wembley just a couple of seasons ago, Stafford Rangers and Hensford Town and Workington down the bottom end, with the threat of relegation. There's a lot of teams who are too good to go down the bottom end, and that's just the nature of the relegation dogfight Workington find themselves in.
Yeah, and as I keep saying, Bobby, you're only as good as your last game anywhere. You know, from the Premier League down to local Sunday League, you're only as good as your last game, and if you've got to go out every week and raise the standards, improve and get to a level where you can be consistent. And once you slip back and you produce performances which aren't up to standard, and those become a regular occurrence, and this is what happens when you lose confidence, that's when you're in trouble. And we've got to raise the bar performance wise and stick with it and take it from there. And certainly nobody's given up. Nobody, I'm sure that nobody's given up at the other clubs as well, mind you. And, you know, everybody's in it together, fighting for their own club and hoping that they can get out of trouble. Nobody's given up at Workington. Everybody is looking positively, some probably more than others, but everybody is hoping to be positive with a starting with a on the right foot tomorrow.
And just before you go, John, obviously you mentioned the Lee Andrews in the local paper saying, you know, come one, come all. If you can't make it in person, updates available on BBC Radio Cumbria.
Yeah, will be. You know, Barrow will be the main game tomorrow, Ben. But they'll be coming to me at Borough Park beforehand for interviews, set the scene, and then during the game, every 10 minutes or when there's a goal, they'll be coming right across the Borough Park.
BBC Radio Cumbria's John Walsh speaking to us there about Workington. Workington this weekend will be taking on Bamber Bridge. And speaking of Bamber Bridge, one last result to bring you. Bamber Bridge 5, Hyde United 2. And there was a goal, James, that he's talking about, not just the 3 points there for Bamba, but what else happened?
Well, there's three goals, realistically. So, goal of the week. I think this is the first time we've had a massive argument between ourselves and the other judges to see what could win it. I mean, it was only the third week, so never mind. But fantastic goal there for Paul Dawson. To get his hat-trick on. But again, Chris Marlowe's goal and, well, Dawson's first, the diving header. Three fantastic goals. And Hyde, I think, just truly outplayed on the day, gone to what Berkey was saying the other day. So.
And Bamba Bridge have opened up a start to move away slightly from any concerns of relegation. 8 points clear of the relegation zone. So it's a big afternoon for both clubs, really. But James, just before you go, any bits of housekeeping?
Yeah, we are. Those moaning at me about Google at this moment in time, I am on the case. Don't worry.
Google! Just please. Is Google still a thing? Has it gone the way of Yahoo? What is Google? What are you talking about?
The fact that obviously they're getting the fixtures wrong. Don't worry. If you've seen that the Twitter this week, we've been down to the Manchester headquarters to try and get it sorted out and hopefully.
What do you mean?
Quite literally.
What do you mean? You've been to Google. You walked down to you walked down to that there Manchester City Centre. You went to town and you went Google and you went in there. What did you do? Read the right act? What was it?
Pretty much, yeah.
Wow. James. Just to say...
Well, we've got a blue tick on Google now because of it, so something's happening.
Wow. Just to add, other search engines are available. Ecosia, for example, they plant trees. I don't mean to sound like my granddad, but I really had no idea what you were talking about then, James. But thanks for sharing. Anyway, James, big thank you for joining us. You have a lovely week, and we'll be hearing from you next week. And a big thank you to James Hayes for joining us on this week's show. Very shortly, we're going to be hearing from Mark Carruthers from the North East Football Podcast with a preview for all this weekend's matches in the Northern Premier League Premier Division. But before that, there is a big, big game taking place this weekend between South Shields and Farsley Celtic. It's a classic title six-pointer. There's no getting away from it. And if you can't make the game in person, there will be live commentary available via livesportsfm.co.uk. And leading the commentary team on Saturday afternoon from Mariners Park will be Bernard Chizzy. And I caught up with Bernard on Friday afternoon.
Well, first of all, Ben, it's a game that I'm really, really looking forward to. These are the two teams at the very top of the table. Not even split by goal difference, incidentally. Both coming into it in cracking form. I think Farsley Celtic are unbeaten in the last 15. South Shields unbeaten in the last 10. So it's all just set up for what is going to be a fantastic game up at Mariners Park. It's going to be my first visit up there this season. I can't believe it's so long since I've been up there. It's such a fantastic place to go and watch football, the North East. I just can't wait for it.
I was going to say, I mean, the interesting thing about the home form for South Shields is it's so, so impressive. But if there's one team who can beat South Shields at Mariners Park, it is Farsley Celtic.
It is. And, you know, funnily enough, I was just listening to the comments of Adam Lakeland, the Farsley Celtic manager. And he was saying that, you know, if it wasn't for the state of the pitch at Throstle Nest, there'd be a much better team at home. And that, if anything, might explain why their record away from home is even better. Because when they get the chance to play on a better pitch, that's when we really see how good Farsley Celtic are. So, obviously, they're under no illusions about the difficulty of the game tomorrow. But they really believe they can go up there and take something from the game.
And when it comes to the title race more generally, I mean, Farsley are in this, South Shields are in this. Admittedly, yeah. Nantwich have played a few games more than everyone else, but that could soon get turned around. Warrington, we heard from Ant Taylor earlier about Scarborough. They're involved in the title race with a couple of results swing. It's so wide open, isn't it? And all five of these clubs, and I'm not even mentioning Gainsborough Trinity, who could really are capable of putting a late run on. It's such a wide open title race. So very exciting, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's only one point now dividing the top four. It's just fantastic, isn't it? It's fantastic for the league. And, you know, I'm really expecting a bumper crowd up at Mariners Park tomorrow. I mean, I think on average they get something like 1,500 on average, something like that. And I know Farnsley Celtic are going to be taking up two, if not more, coaches up to the game as well. So it's going to be a cracking atmosphere. And yeah, it's going to be a very intriguing game between the top two. I mean, when we covered the game on Live Sports FM earlier this season, Farnsley Celtic ran out very comfortable winners. I think in part that was due to the fact that South Shields ended the game with nine men.
Yeah, that was the infamous quick successive sending offs, wasn't it? Game.
Yeah, it was. It was. I was just going to say, I mean, we have to say that, you know, once again, Lee Picton and Graham Fenton of South Shields are just doing such an amazing job with that club, because they could potentially be going for their fourth promotion in a row, which is absolutely staggering.
It really is. It'll be an impressive feat, that's for sure. But yeah, for those people, you talk about the crowd, it's going to be, I'd be surprised if it's not pushing towards the 2,000 mark, to be honest.
I think you're right, Ben, yeah.
For those people who can't make it in person, Live Sports FM will be there. How could people tune in?
Okay, there's a couple of ways, really. You can tune into us just going to our website. So that's livesportsfm.co.uk, or you can just follow us using either Facebook or Twitter at Live Sports FM. And on each platform, you'll just find a link. Click on that, and you can just listen to us live from half two.
We've obviously spoken to Live Sports commentators in the past. It is really a cracking setup, not just non-league football, but rugby league and tennis and that kind of thing. It's a cracking station, and always on the lookout for new volunteers to come forward.
Yeah, absolutely. And I would really urge anybody looking at getting into commentary just to get in touch with us, possibly send us a demo, something like that. And the best way to do that is just to contact us using our website. Because at the moment, we do cover such a breadth of sports. I mean, for example, next month, we're going to be covering the IPA World Pool Tournament, which, you know, some people might think, well, isn't that going to be a little strange hearing that on the radio? But I covered it last year, and I think it worked really, really well. So whatever your interest is, if you want to get involved, just go to our website, livesportsfm.co.uk, and we'd love to hear from you.
Big thank you to Bernard Chizzy joining us from Live Sports. So a big game this weekend, South Shields against Farnsley Celtic. If you can't make it in person, then you can head over to Live Sports for full commentary of that very big game up at the top of the NPL Premier Division. And joining us now, who'll be there live as well, we're now joined by Mark Carruthers from the North East Football Podcast. Hello, Mark, how are they?
I'm good, thanks. It's exciting game to look forward to.
Absolutely, and I mean, if you can make it in person, do get down there. But like I said, full commentary available on Live Sports. But there is going to be a very big crowd for this one, isn't there?
Yeah, I mean, the buzz up here is you can sense it. The South Shields fans on social media are really looking forward to it. You know, Farsley going in great form as well, and they're bringing a fair few fans from what you can kind of read on social media. So you wouldn't be surprised if this crowd's heading up towards, you know, 2,000 maybe. It's just a massive occasion. It's not going to, I think we all know, it's not going to decide the league title, but whichever team comes out on top, if one comes out on top, will certainly go a long way to, you know, giving themselves a bit of a kick on. And I think South Shields at home have just been unbelievable this season. 11 out of 11. They are unbeatable at home, it seems that way. But if any team's going to do it, it would be Farsley. So it's too tough to call.
This is going to be such a big occasion, and it is what the Northern Premier League's all about.
It is, absolutely. And I think, you know, you say Farsley, the only side that could do it, or one of the only sides. But when you've got people like Hayhurst and Spencer who are in double figures already this season, the one thing it does look as if it's going to guarantee is goals, doesn't it? Because, I mean, South Shields at home, they always find a way to break teams down. I can't see Farsley going there and sitting back. I don't think that's in their nature. I think they'll go and have a go. So it should be just a massive game and a great occasion for the league. As you say, it shows what the league's about. Two great sides who will have a go at each other. So I'm looking forward to a 0-0.
No, yeah, absolutely. And as we were discussing with James earlier, it was the title. I mean, we've been saying this for weeks now. The title race is wide open. I was going to say it feels like a four-horse race, but I think Scarborough's win against Warrington has popped them back into it. Nantwich and Scarborough are the ones who played more games than anyone else. Two teams up at the top. One of them, at least, is going to drop points this weekend. Warrington will be looking to bounce back. That said, I mean, we could turn to relegation as well and talk about that race at the moment, because that's something to behold as well. And Lancaster against Warrington this weekend at Cantilever Park. That's a big game for Warrington all of a sudden, isn't it, for both clubs?
It's a banana skin, isn't it? Because Lancaster know what they need to do. And Warrington, they'll obviously, they can't focus on what's happening above them. They just have to look after themselves. And I think sometimes when you're on the chasing pack, you start worrying about what other teams are doing. They can't afford to do that, because if they do, they'll take their eye off the ball and they'll slip up this weekend. But I just think Warrington will have a bit too much for Lancaster. I think, you know, like you said, that win, it's given them a boost. It's given them something to hang on to and to build on. And I think it'll be a comfortable Warrington win, because I think they've got enough in the squad. They've got an experienced manager who knows how to win games like this. And I think they'll win it quite comfortably.
Now, there was a weekend off last week for Dave Cook's side up at Nantwich. I would go to this game if I didn't have my own match to attend in person. Buxton against Nantwich Town. It's a big game, that one. Important for Buxton. Buxton are 10 points outside the playoff places. And that feels like a sizeable gap. A 3-0 defeat against Marine last weekend, proving that banana skins do exist in this league. Like you said about Lancaster, Marine's certainly a banana skin. But Buxton against Nantwich. Nantwich have to keep winning. Buxton have to win, I think, if they're going to be involved in the playoff conversation as we head into February and March time.
Yeah, I'd go along with that. I think the gap to Gainsborough and sixth is 6 points as well, isn't it? So I think they've got a little bit of work to do, and I'm not sure they will be able to do it. I mean, I saw that result come through against Marine last week, and so I had to do a bit of a double take when I saw it. It was just, I think, no one saw it coming, but... You know, Nantwich haven't really got going so far this year in terms of 2019. They've had two tough games and only taken a point. Good win in midweek in the Cheshire Cup, the Cheshire Senior Cup against Crewe. It's a tough one to call, and I did promise myself that I wouldn't do my usual trick of sitting on the fence. So I'm going to go for a Buxton win, a narrow Buxton win, purely because I think they'll be stung by what happened last week against Marine, and there'll be that extra determination to put that result behind them.
Now, we had Ant Taylor on earlier from a Scarborough Athletic point of view. Big win last week, as we said earlier, against Warrington. That was set up as well thanks to that 5-3 win against Hensford the week earlier. So Scarborough have got over the blip. It does coincide with Chris Boland coming to the club as assistant manager. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that the two are connected, but there does seem to be a bit of momentum suddenly at the Flamingoland Stadium. Scarborough this weekend will be travelling to Matlock Town. And we could say Matlock Town have been under a bit of a mini bump in the road of late, that 1-0 defeat to Witton Albion. But we've got to remember, they were bottom of the table early on in the season. So I think they'll take sitting in ninth as a disappointing set of results, to be honest with you. But Scarborough this weekend, where do you think this is going?
Well, it's got a little bit of a feel of Buxton Nantwich about it, hasn't it? It's a similar sort of fixture in many ways. But I think when you look at the job that, you know, the manager's done since he's gone into Matlock, you could arguably say that he's manager of the season so far, because it's been ridiculous the way he's lifted them from where they were to where they are now. I think, if I'm honest, this might be a little bit of a step too far. I think Scarborough now, after that win against Warrington, I think they've sort of got the bit between the teeth, and they know exactly what they need to do to get themselves right into the promotion race, the title race. And going there with Walsh, Sean Coulson, you know, they're always going to score goals. I think they'll sneak it. I think it might be a 1-0. And we should also say congratulations to Adam Yates as well, by the way. Long-serving Matlock player. Brought up 450 appearances for the club last weekend, which is remarkable in this day and age. But I don't think he'll be celebrating tomorrow. I think it'll be a Scarborough win.
It feels like, you know, as we said about Buxton and Matlock, it feels like they need to to win as well, just to make sure that they keep involved in those playoff discussions. It's a bit more comfortable for Gainsborough. Gainsborough, though, are outside the playoffs by 4 points. They can't be left behind, given the expectations for this season. They've got a tough game, though, haven't they? And we could start talking about the relegation picture. Michelover Sports. I mean, we had John McGrath on a couple of weeks ago, and they were picking their fixtures, and they were saying we want to get as far away as possible. They're 4 points above the relegation zone at the moment, dragged in the likes of Hensford and Stafford Rangers, and looking to drag in the likes of Grantham as well. This is a tough game, this, for Gainsborough.
It is. I think, if I'm honest, I think Grantham are the ones that is probably the cut-off point for the relegation battle, but they will be looking over their shoulders and wondering what's going on behind them. But Michelover, their desperation to get away from that bottom three will make it a tougher game for Gainsborough. Now, I tip Gainsborough to win the league at the start of the season, and I think it's just a step too far, but I wouldn't be surprised if they went up through the playoffs. I think they've got a fantastic squad and some wonderful players. Good win last week, admittedly, against a struggling Workington side, but they'll have learned from that, playing Workington, who are desperate to get points. That may not be a bad build-up to this game, and I think despite the desperation of Michelover to get a result, I think Gainsborough will just have a little bit too much quality and will possibly win this one quite comfortably, if I'm honest.
Now, let's talk about the bottom end of the table. So, 4 points between Michelover Sports and Stafford Rangers. Stafford Rangers in that final relegation spot at the moment. In between Michelover and Stafford, obviously, we've got Lancaster and Marine, who've been there or thereabouts all season long. But we've got Hensford now. And Hensford this weekend are taking on Basford United. Basford on a bit of a hiding to nothing last weekend against South Shields. And obviously, we all know about the Hyde United result the week earlier. Basford, I think, are starting to get their players back after the flu and injury crisis they've had. So, what do you think for this one? Hensford have to be very wary.
And sometimes when a manager goes in, it can boost the club. But how many times have we said that about Hensford over the last couple of years? They've had a few managerial changes, and he really does have to hit the ground running. But if you're going to do it, what a game to start it with. Basford at home, as you said, they've hit a bit of a rocky spell. And having said that, South Shields were impressed with them second half last week. Did put South Shields under a lot of pressure, admittedly, when they were 2-0 down at half time. It's a tough one to call this. I think with the new manager in place, Hensford, he will have made changes. He maybe have given a few players a bit of a boost going in there who possibly didn't get on the previous manager. I think this one's going to be a draw. I did say I wouldn't sit on the fence, but I think possibly a 1-1 draw. Mainly because of Hensford's need to get a win. I think Basford are probably just a little bit too far out of the playoff push to really have a say in it, if I'm honest. I know that they're still sat in eighth. It is quite a small gap, but I think the teams above them have just got too much to not drop the points they need to get back in. So, yeah, I think Hensford will get a draw here.
Let's talk about Stafford Rangers then. And you said, you said Grantham was the cut-off point, you think, for the relegation dogfight. Grantham Town against Stafford Rangers this weekend, a great 1-1 draw for Grantham last weekend. Stafford Rangers obviously weren't in action last weekend. They need to get themselves away from here. They do have games in hand, but Lancaster, Marine and Michelover and Grantham are all pulling out results that at the moment Stafford Rangers just don't look like pulling out.
And that's a big problem. You mentioned the games in hand, but when you look above, every win that a team above you gets is a bit of a blow to you. That's got to hit the confidence. And what it means now is the games in hand, the pressure in those games is going to be remarkable. And you wonder how the squad will cope with it. You wonder how the manager will cope with it. I think Stafford may get out of it, but I don't think they will in this game. I can see Grantham winning this one. They could move as high as mid-table if they can get a win, which would take them away from the bottom
three. I was going to say, do you think if Grantham get this win against Stafford Rangers, that's, I know it's early days, we're only halfway through January, but that will be more or less job done there for Grantham?
I would never go down the route of saying job done, because you never know what's going to happen. They could hit a blip and all of a sudden get dragged back in. But I do, hand on heart, think that a win this weekend, they'll be breathe a little bit easier. They'll probably start looking up the table because, that will put them on 35 points. And then you're thinking, well, they're already 3 points behind Basford, who are in eighth. So it's one of those where it's a big game for Grantham. But I do think, if they win, I wouldn't say job done, but I think they'll be resting a little easier.
Marine against Stalybridge Celtic. This is a tough game for Marine, but Marine have got big momentum behind them at the moment. They just can't help but keep getting results.
They do this a lot, don't they? It feels like every season we talk about Marine in the second half of the season, and no matter who the manager is or who goes in there, they seem to hit a spell after Christmas where they just gain momentum and they gain confidence and they pull away from the bottom. I think this one, I've got to be honest, because of the win last week at Buxton, I think Marine might win this one. I think they'll continue that momentum and start really moving away from the bottom three.
What about Workington as well? Workington taking on Bamber Bridge this weekend. And, you know, you're drawing the line there at Grantham in 15th, but Bamber Bridge are only 1 point ahead of Grantham Town. Yeah. So it's still a bit nip and tuck as well for the Lancastrian side. But Workington, it'd be interesting to see what Lee Andrews can do, given the circumstances over the last month at Workington.
Yeah, it hasn't been easy, has it? It's been a rough couple of years for Workington, to be fair. Every time they look as if they're getting back on their feet, something knocks them again. And we mentioned with Stafford, with the games in hand, obviously Workington have got games in hand, but the pressure in those games is just monumental. And if it is going to happen, it has to happen now. They have to start getting some momentum. They have to start building something. But it just makes the manager's job even harder. Every game they're going to go into now, he's going to be under pressure to get something. The players are going to be under pressure. And the 8 points behind Stafford, it's such a big ask. And it's such a shame because Workington is such a big club. To see them where they are is you know, it's not great. But I think this one, I think Bamber Bridge again, I think, as you said, got that win last week. That's proven that they can take on the relegation threatened sides and get something. So I think we'll get something this weekend, and I think it'll be 3 points.
Now, sadly, we have been doing the show. Not sadly, we've been doing the show for seven seasons, not like that. But sadly, doing this show, as we enter the new year period, there's generally, apart from last season where only one team got relegated, but generally there's always a team who's down the bottom and by a big way. And I could point to Drolsden of the past or Skelmersdale in recent years. North Ferriby. And you talk about Workington, it's a shame we're working tonight. It's given where North Ferriby have been in recent years, this is a shame, isn't it, at the moment where they're 17 points from safety. They haven't got any games in hand either. And this weekend they're travelling just up the coast to take on Whitby Town. It's a very disappointing season.
Now, on Tuesday night, I was at a Northern League game and concert. This sounds random, I know, but the Northern League had a meeting with the FA's League Management Committee, and I was talking to a member of that committee about North Ferriby. We had a good chat about them, you know, just how sad it is. It's only, 4 years since they won the FA Trophy. It's only 3 years since they're in the National League. So, you know, it looks as if they're going to be, I think we can comfortably say they are going to be in the Evo Stick League East next season. It's heartbreaking, to be fair, because, I mean, that Billy Heath side with, you know, Tom Denton and people like that and Ryan Kendall, it was such a good sight to watch. And to beat Wrexham at Wembley, that was one of the first games I reported on from Wembley. I've always had a bit of a soft spot for them, so to see what's happening is devastating. I really feel for the supporters because there's a lot of hardworking supporters there who are trying to give some hope, but it just feels desolate at the moment, and that's not a nice place to be. I don't think they'll get anything at Whitby. It seems, against Whitby. I think that sounds like a really obvious thing to say given the form, but I sincerely hope that, you know, North Ferriby United get back to somewhere near where they were, because, as I say, they've been a club that I've closely followed for a long time now, and they deserve better than what they're getting.
And lastly, but by no means leastly, we've got Hyde United against Witton Albion. Witton Albion,
yes.
17 points from the playoffs, 4 games in hand. Can it be done? And can it be done at Ewan Fields this Saturday?
I'm going to say the answer to both is no. Sorry, Simo. I'll be getting a text later on, no doubt. But I just think it's a step too far. I think in terms of the bigger picture, the playoff picture, I think Hyde may have a little bit too much for them, as much as they are quite close together in the table. I think there's only, 4 or 5 points separating them. I think Hyde, being at home, I think they'll get the win. And I think that will kill off any hopes that Witten have of getting the playoffs. But what I would say is they are putting in foundations for a serious challenge next season. I think the progress in the Cups has just hindered them too much this year. They've got too much catch-up to play, and eventually that's going to catch up with the squad. So I think, no, they'll not get a win. No, they'll not make the playoffs. But I do think next season they'll be one to watch out for.
Well, Matt Crothers, a big thank you for joining us. Job well done, my friend, as always. North East Football Podcast. Like you say, you're off to South Shields this weekend, so I can imagine what you're going to be talking about this week.
Well, there's lots. There's Ben Clark being appointed at Gateshead and Steve Watson's departure from there. We've got Robbie Dill becomes Blyth Spartans record appearance holder in the club's history this weekend. They're off to Bradford Park Avenue. We've got Spenny Moore's continuing playoff push. There's some big games in the Northern League as well. And obviously, probably the biggest game in the region will be... not Newcastle v Cardiff, it will be South Shields against Farsley, which is a massive game, and you know there are a lot of people talking about it. It's one I can't wait to get to and sample the atmosphere at Mariners Park, because I think it's going to be electric.
And how can people download the show? Where can they go?
We're on iTunes, North East Football Podcast, and we're also on SoundCloud at North East Football Podcast. You can give us a follow on Twitter at NEF Podcast, and we're on Facebook under North East Football Podcast.
And a big thank you to Matt Carruthers from the North East Football Podcast for joining me on this week's show. And a big thank you to all our guests this week. Loads of people coming on the show. Remember to give them all a follow on their various Twitter feeds and that kind of thing. And while you're on the internet, don't forget as well, you can follow this show on Twitter. That's at NPL Show. And for all the latest goings on from the world of the Northern Premier League, you can visit the website evostickleague.co.uk. But that's it for this week's Evo Stick NPL show. I've been Ben, and wherever you're going this weekend to cheer on your Evo Stick Northern Premier League side, make sure that you have fun. Bye bye.
With over 500 high performance products in the Evo Stick range, you may need a bigger van. Evo Stick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.